today on Real Radio.
People don't have the maturity to process information anymore. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The church is fragmented by non-truths. Well, I think this, and I've come to the conclusion, Christians, stop! Think Bible. Think Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A United Front, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 3 with verses 17 through 21. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses to follow him as he follows Christ. It's only when the true believer obeys the doctrines of God, as Paul did, that the church can move forward in a powerful way in this world. A united front can happen if Christ is our one goal and our one example. We often become like those who influence us, so let those who have integrity and walk in righteousness be our guides. That way, we're all advancing together in the Holy Spirit, all in one direction. We are not to idolize our leaders or put them on a pedestal. For the more we forward the gospel of Christ, the more humble we should become. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that a united front happens when we hold God's truth as highly esteemed in our lives. For the truth is the one power that will expose a lie. There are those who claim to be Christian, but their lifestyle and doctrine proves otherwise. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
It means that you are listening. Do you know that's my job? Is to hope and pray that I'm saying something that people are listening to? If you're not listening, I'd rather go bake a cake, and I don't know how to bake a cake, but I'd rather do that. Paul is saying, I've told you this over and over and over again. What is it? Well, now I even tell you, now I'm crying about it. He's saying, look at his words. He said, now I'm telling you and I'm weeping. I'm crying. And immediately I'm struck with, again, how far the church has backslidden away from its practical position. Pulpits, don't you think? You think I'm stretching this? I don't know. It's the Bible. I'd rather be found guilty obeying the Bible. It seems verse 18 is telling me that pulpits ought to weep. Didn't Jeremiah weep? Pulpits ought to weep. The Apostle Paul wept. Why? Because he looked at how the church was so fragmented. And what he's about to give us is a profound admonition, it's called, and exhortation. By the way, just so you know, an admonition is a warning about a common danger. An admonition, an exhortation, is that I've told you what to do about it. This is what he's going to say. And there's no getting around it. This is a grave warning, church. I believe it's Julius Manti, the great Greek scholar, says that this verse means that there are people who once did claim to be a Christian, or they still were claiming to be Christians, but their lifestyle and or their doctrine proved otherwise. Did you hear that? Just because someone says they're a Christian means absolutely nothing except that they pose a threat to the true body of Christ. It would be better right now for Bill Maher to come on this stage and say, I'm a bold-faced atheist. We get that. I appreciate that. Thank you. At least he's honest, right? You know what's the greatest danger to the church? I'm a Christian. Oh, brother. Oh, man. Why'd you have to say that for? Why? Because none of us know you. Now we have to get to know you to see if your proclamation matches up with your lifestyle. Well, I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian and I rob banks. I'm a Christian bank robber. I was kind of silly, right? But why do we not laugh at this next one? I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian, and God wants me to sleep with my boyfriend. Oh. You see. I'm a Christian fornicator. Well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I like to sleep with other people's wives, and I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian adulterer. Really? You think that's going to fly in the face of God? Paul says these people are false. And Paul says they're among us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last hour. Wow. If John said that 2,000 years ago, we're down to the last second. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. That means they went to church with us. But they were not of us. They didn't have the DNA. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made revealed or manifest or known to everybody that none of them were of us. Ladies and gentlemen, the church cannot unite until the church is willing to face truth like this. This is dead serious stuff. Here's the funny thing about it. Unless you've missed this, this is the church. I say this, not 4201 eucalyptus. We're just a grain of sand in the universal body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ is global, right? We're just a little speck on the elbow of the body of Christ. But I'm talking about the body of Christ. Until we recognize that this is absolute truth, the body of Christ will be infected. It'll be sick. And it's not my job or your job. Don't think I'm encouraging you to become the Holy Spirit's helper and start flushing people out. That's his job. Listen, we're supposed to present the truth in love. The Holy Spirit's to do the rest. Are you with me? Okay, so when truth goes out, God's people respond to it. Sometimes it's bloody too. You know, when God's truth goes out, sometimes it just rips us. But he never cuts us without the great physician stitching us up. But when the truth goes out, it cleanses the body of Christ, and it also drives away those eventually who have no stomach for it. It's not in them. And here's the great danger. When the Apostle John says, they were among us, but they were not of us, this is a very, very disturbing thing. It means they knew their names. They knew their faces. It's exactly what David said when there were those who went up to the mountain of the Lord to worship in his day, but came no more. They decided to depart. We're living in the times of people departing from the truth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Is that going to be you? Will that be me? I don't plan on it. In fact, I was just convicted for saying that. Not only do I not plan on it, by God's grace, it will never happen. For this reason, I'm fully looking to him to keep me secure until that day. Now unto him who is able to keep me. You say, well, Pastor, what about me? Well, what about you? I mean, listen, as a church, it's every man for the other. Regarding salvation, it's every man for himself. Does that sound rude? It's true. I can't save you. You can't save me. Well, my mama, she was a prayer warrior. Well, good for your mama. She can't save you. Well, you don't know who you're talking to. My dad was a preacher, and that's great for your dad. What about you? The church cannot unite until the church comes under the one true power of God, and that's his word. And the word goes out, some run to it, and some flee from it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1 that some will depart from the faith giving heed. Why? Why do they leave? Because they give heed to deceiving, hello, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That means that the lies that will be introduced to you in your mind are so demonically energized. Church family, I'm going to sound like a dinosaur right now when I say this. But I'm one happy dinosaur. Stop getting your worldview from the internet. Stop it. Grow up. Get away from it. So many of you talk to me and you're so troubled about something you heard from somebody about something, and you have no redress. You have no recourse. You have no way to find out if it's even true. I love this one of the news articles, Time Magazine or somebody this week. Busted again. It's happening every week. Busted the fact finders, fact checkers. You know all these knucklehead fact-checking websites are now finding out, people are finding out that the fact-checkers are all wrong about the fact-checking. That's hard to say. I have to be careful about the fact-checking that they're doing with a bias to skew the outcome for their own fact-checking reasons. Corruption. Crazy. Literally, when somebody says, Pastor Jack, I read about this guy and he's in Nigeria, and you know what he said about whatever? No, lady, are you kidding? I guess what? I didn't spend my day trying to find out what some guy in Nigeria was saying. I don't care what some guy in Nigeria is saying. Do you understand? The internet has allowed people who are crazy to have access to the world now. Think of it. Well, I read somewhere. No, no, don't. You know what I'm saying? Be careful. You can throw anything up. People don't have the maturity to process information anymore. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The church is fragmented by non-truths. Well, I think this, and I've come to the conclusion, Christians, stop. Think Bible. Think Bible. God's truth must be always held preeminent over all things. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets in Israel. This is of the New Living Translation. Just as there will be false teachers among you, they will cleverly teach you destructive heresies. What does that mean? It means you won't be able to detect their trickery without the Holy Spirit warning you, and then you got to listen to him. And even denying the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. Well, I have the freedom in Christ to do this. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. People will not want to be Christians when they look at a, quote, church that acts just like the world. Why would somebody leave the world that can sin better? They can do it better. They got better music. They got better lighting. They got better smoke devices. Are you with me? Why would you leave the world to go to a church that's just like the world? Stay in the world. Unless you see a church, which is the true church of God on the earth, that is so other than the world, that those who are sick of the world says, is there any hope? And they turn and they look and they see an oasis in the midst of a cultural desert. And they will do as Bunyan wrote, John Bunyan, they will climb the mountain. They will stay on the course as Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. Nothing will deter them. Sadly, 2 Peter 2:2 says, many will follow their evil teachings and shameful immorality, and because of false teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them. Listen, it's past tense. It's not God is going to condemn them. This is crazy amazing. Listen, this is truth. This is too much truth. It's like I need to take a pill. Oh, really? Listen, cold water, man. Watch this. God says, I've condemned them. They're done. God condemned them a long time ago, it says, and their destruction will not be delayed. Okay, this is serious. We have to end here. I can't believe we're not even close to it. Here's the thing. According to that scripture and those scriptures, you ought to be able to, right now, what is today, 23rd? You ought to be able to stand up, not yet, but to stand up and to go home and turn on the radio or buy a book or turn on religious programming and open your Bible and begin to detect these people. Now, don't get me wrong. If I had to watch Christian TV, I would watch Charles Stanley. I love that guy. I mean, that guy's like 100 years old and he's still doing it. It's amazing. Anyway, there's some guys out there. There's just a few, though, you know. But then again, listen, and I'm just letting you into my thoughts, and it's just my crazy thoughts, but this is how the Lord leads me. And I'll just pick on him because he's good to pick on. So you have a man who has, as Stanley, Charles Stanley, survived all these years and endured all kinds of storms and weather and all that stuff, and here he is now. Or like Billy Graham, all these years. Okay, so here's the thing. There's a part of me, even though I'm supposed to spy on these guys, that I don't want to. You want to know why? Because I have a good view of them. I don't want to be disappointed. Why? Because they influence my life, and it's good. And I don't want to know where they eat. I don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm a little fearful that I might be disillusioned. And when I think like that, the Lord says, all have sinned, Jack, including you, knucklehead, and fallen short of the glory of God. Keep your eyes on me. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Next thing is, it is incumbent upon me to not just listen to what someone says. Because if I just listen to what they say and I don't know about their lifestyle, if I can't see how they live, then I run the risk of being deceived. All of a sudden, a big church that is in the world ought to get real small. Because we ought to, as God gives us opportunity, know each other and know about each other. And you know what's going to happen? Hypocrisy, I believe, in the church. Listen, this is going to be a strong statement. Hypocrisy that is in the church, I believe, is hypocrisy that is owned by those who are among us, but not of us. Don't get me wrong. We're all hypocrites because, as I said earlier, if you know the speed limit's 55 miles an hour and you deliberately go over it, you're a hypocrite. But I'm talking about those who are misleading people in the body of Christ in the name of Jesus, and they wear the banner of Christ. But inside of them, the Bible says we have the ability by the Spirit to flush them out. And that God has already condemned them, but Satan has woven them in amongst the truth like wheat and tare being planted. Satan's greatest job is to keep this church from having a united front, to get it to turn and to eat upon its own ankles, as it were. While the war is raging, we break rank, we drop our shield to yell at somebody, and we'll take a spear from the enemy right in the head. A lot of Christians good Christians are getting killed these days by spiritual attack. When I say killed, they're being prematurely taken out of the fight. We need to be strong. We need to do everything possible. We need to zip our lips. We need to get on our knees. Some of us are getting ready. You can stand. I'll leave you with this picture. Believe me, you'll never forget it. Every wedding I do, the last thing I do before the service begins is I have to go regroup with the guys, right? Because at a wedding, I'll pray with the bride and her court, and then I'll go over and meet some people, and then the final visitation is to the groom and his men. And this may be a TMI this morning, but it's information that I want you to have vividly put in your head. So you can hear the music playing. Sometimes there's a slideshow going on, and the men are all lined up, and we've got them in order, and I'm standing in the front like this off to the in a hallway somewhere behind the doors, and I'll make sure that the guys are in line, and I'll give them some last-moment walking instructions because it's very funny. How it's so predictable how they act about this, but one thing they always forget. Oh, last thing. I said, you guys ready? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Are you sure you're ready? Are you ready? Yes, I'm sure. Are you sure? You got the ring? Yes, I get it. How about you? Are you ready? I'm ready. Okay, you guys ready? Ready. All right, listen. Check your zippers. I'm serious. Pastor, what'd you say? Check your zippers. And you every wedding, there's one or more of the guys are going, oh gosh, thank you so much. I didn't realize. All suited up. The ceremony is about to begin. But your zipper's down. You might look ready, but if we were to spy on you, you're not so ready. Listen, check everything. Check the pulse. Check everything. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm surprised Jesus hasn't come back yet. If he waits any longer, it's not going to be a surprise. Father, we thank you for your truth. Heavenly Father, we pray that we as a church would experience a divine outpouring of your Holy Spirit in such way, Lord, that there would be formed by you, not by an outreach, not by a program, not by a committee, not by a ministry, but by your Holy Spirit, a united front. And Lord, I invite you, Lord, please come in, move in the midst of this fellowship of believers as a harvester. Lord, come and weed out or plant, build or take down. We invite you, Lord. And Father, I just ask you that more than ever, we would push through to the end. That when you come, in that moment, we know not when, we would be ready. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, let's bless his name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A United Front. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are a part of the family of God, walking in truth, cleansed, and being made whole in Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, if you have a question about what maybe you just heard here on Real Radio, you can always head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that contact tab. Don't hesitate. We'd love to get you in contact with someone who can help you out. Maybe a question about something you heard here on the radio. Maybe it's a question about life in general. Why don't you give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO or hit the contact tab at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life Devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.